Amen. All right. Good singing tonight. Psalm. Well, it's all good. Just pick a place. Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30. I was thinking there while we were singing about I was singing about Psalm 40, where it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Amen. Isn't it good to be saved? Aren't you glad you got something to sing about? Amen. In so many churches, you walk in and they're singing like this. I will sing of my redeemer. I mean, like, I'm really glad that I'm saved, I guess. We have something to sing about, don't we? I mean, you remember how bad it was before you got saved? And now how good it is now that you are saved? Amen? Hasn't your Savior been good to you? Amen. Praise the Lord. I can't get onto you too much. You sing pretty good here, amen. But you know, sometimes you just need that reminder. Hey, you know, it's okay to smile. It's okay to smile. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. We're just going to read one verse, and then, if it's any consolation, I only have 3 pages here. That doesn't mean anything. Isaiah 30, verse number 7. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. And thank you, Lord, for the great time we've had so far this week. It's been a tremendous privilege and blessing to be here to see so many old friends and meet some new ones. It's been a blessing to be able to open the Word of God and look at it, Lord. I pray, God, your Holy Spirit would descend upon this place here tonight, that you would speak to us from the Word of God. Lord, these people need a message from heaven. So I ask you, Father, get me out of the way, Lord, and use me as a vessel, Lord, to convey this message to them. And I pray, God, you'd open their hearts, open their minds, Lord, that they would be receptive to the Word of God, Lord. And we give you all of the honor, all of the glory. It all belongs to you. Lord, we're nothing. Lord, we just ask that you would get the glory tonight. And we'll give you the praise. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let me ask you this question. How many here tonight, how many here have been called to preach? Okay, got a few. Amen. That's good. You've been called to preach. You know that sometimes I don't know what Kyle's process is. I know how the Lord deals with me, and so my process is for putting a message together. I just pray, amen. What a novel idea! I read my Bible. I say, Lord, what do you want me to preach? And then somewhere during the course of the week, leading up to Sunday, the Lord will show me a passage or give me a thought or recall a verse to memory or what. There's a multitude of different ways. But I also remember, if you've been in preacher's class or anything like that, you also know that sometimes the Lord will change things on you or do different things. You just have to be ready for anything. Amen. And I don't know if Kyle's ever had this experience, but I know I've had the experience where Sunday morning, I'm like, Lord, I need a message. And I have 3 different messages, and it's like, okay, I got it down to 3, but, you know, which one? And it isn't until the last song has been sung that the Lord says that one. Like, Lord, could you give me some advance notice, please? and then there's other times, I've had it this way, where I finished preaching on a Sunday night, and I went home, and the Lord said, okay, the message for next Sunday is this. And I'm going, Lord, this is really unusual. I mean, this is not last minute. You're giving me an entire week to study for this message? This is weird. But then that week, there's a lot of weird things happened. And the message he gave me on Sunday night addressed everything that happened during that week. And then everyone thought, well, I was just picking on him. Hey, I got this message last Sunday night. You can talk to the Lord about it. Amen. So, And here we are, and we've had a great time this week. I've enjoyed being here, and this message here tonight is along the same thing. Now, look, I didn't pick the message, okay? This is what God told me to preach. It's along the same thing, though. We're talking about spiritual warfare. We're talking about the battles that you're going to face as a Christian, amen? And me, personally, I know this sounds strange to you, but I'm a fighter. I like, you know, I don't mind a good argument every now and then, amen? It kind of stirs the blood up and gets you going, amen? many years ago, back way back when, we had Gerald Sutek came through, took us out on the street. Boy, I'd love preaching on the street. Amen. And if there isn't a good fight that comes out of it, well, it's just kind of, you know, it's just not quite the same. I mean, I like it. We go down to our campus, and sometimes it's just like it is here. Sometimes they pretend like you don't even exist, and then other times they're up in your face, arguing, yelling, screaming, face turning purple, and you're standing there laughing at them like, oh, you're intimidating me or something. I mean, what exactly is it that you're trying to prove? It's to me, that's fun. That's fun. I mean, why go bar hopping when you can go street preaching? Amen? That's where it is. That's the action right there. Some of you are looking at me like I'm half crazy or something. But, hey, we are in a war. Now, I don't expect everyone to be like me, all right? I'm me. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen? And you are what you are. Amen? I'm not trying to make you like me. I just appreciate warfare. I appreciate those types of things. And so the Lord speaks to me a lot on this line. And the Lord shows me a lot of things. We're going to look at things from a different angle tonight. And here our verse says, their strength is to sit still. This passage, chapter 30, it kind of ties in with chapter 29. We're not going to go through all of it. I understand the doctrine. Let me clarify some things. I understand the doctrine of the passage here. If you get down towards the end of it, it's absolutely crystal clear, at least in my opinion. Verse 26, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. The light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. And notice, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people. Obviously, this is a second coming passage. The Lord Jesus Christ is returning to the earth. According to Romans chapter 8 and other passages, there's a restoration or a regeneration of the entire planet. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain shall be made low. And the animal kingdom, it tells us in Romans 8, the animal kingdom is restored to Edenic-type conditions. So I understand the doctrine here, second coming of Christ, the millennial reign of Christ, the judgment of the nations there, verse 28, and then down in verse 33, for Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large, the pile thereof is fire and much wood, the breath of the Lord like a stream of brimstone doth kindle it. That's the lake of fire that's on the earth during the millennial reign of Christ. So I understand the doctrine. We're going to make some application, amen, and maybe learn some things here tonight. Now, to give you some background here to the book of Isaiah, the Lord has called Isaiah to be a prophet during the time when the Assyrian Empire is rising. The Assyrian Empire has come and taken the northern kingdom off into captivity, and they're barking at the door of Jerusalem. So they're threatening Jerusalem. And so this is the time that Isaiah prophesies. And in the early part of Isaiah, he has just rained down fire and brimstone on surrounding nations. Babylon, Moab, Edom, and many other nations there that Isaiah has preached about. And I'm sure the people there in Israel are just going, yeah, get them. Those are the enemies of the Lord. They deserve judgment. But then Isaiah turns heel on them and says, oh yeah, by the way, you get judgment too. So he gets very up close and personal here. And not only does he get up close and personal with Israel, he identifies some root sins that from the appearance may not have been so obvious, but you know, nothing is hidden from the Lord. Amen? The eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. God knows what's going on down there in your heart. Amen? And you can put on a nice little happy face, and you might even put on a clown nose or a wig, and you might come to church all dressed up in your spiffies and everything and say, look at me, I'm spiritual, and God looks down at you and says, you are rotten to the core. Amen? You can't fool me. That's what the Lord says. And Isaiah here is prophesying to Israel, and Israel is saying, Yes, those heathen nations deserve judgment, and then the Lord turns on them and says, you get it too. Amen. And then he identifies some sins. So the situation here is, as I described, Assyria is coming. Now, I'm the crazy guy. My youngest brother Jerry's here, and I'm very glad that he came up, and he'll probably attest. You can ask him afterward. I'm the crazy one. I'm the one who does the weirdest thing. I had my clown nose on, and he wouldn't even look at me. He's like, that's not my brother. I don't know him. Amen. I'm the weird one, okay? So a big, huge bully comes up and threatens me. Most of you would go, okay, back off. Not me. I don't. I just get it right up in his face. I've had him out on the street, and, you know, big, huge guys, you know, muscles coming out of their ears, you know, they can bench press 5,000 pounds, you know, and if you don't shut up, I'm going to pound you. Go ahead. They never do. They never do. If you don't shut up, I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to blah, 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 blah. And you know, I've told them this. I said, you know what? If you can't beat me up, then there's something wrong with you. Amen. I mean, come on. And what would that prove? That the big tough guy beat up the little shrimpy guy. I mean, wow, you really have proved a lot, you know, like that's supposed to show how manly you are to pick on someone half your size. Wow, I'm really impressed, you know. But let me ask you this, tough guy. How much sin can you handle? Jesus Christ bore the sin of the universe on his shoulders at the cross. You want tough, fella. Why don't you do that? And then come up out of the grave 3 days later. Mr. Tough Guy, you know what they do? They turn tail and run. Amen? They ain't tough. They're just trying to intimidate you. So I'm just telling you, me, most people's instinct is when the bully comes around, you turn tail and run. Not me. I just stand there and wait for them to, you know, see what they can do. I figure, hey, I'm going down. I'm taking you with me, pal. Amen? You want to be in a fight? I may not be able to lick you, but I can sure hurt you. Amen? So here comes Assyria now. Here comes Assyria. The rising empire, big, huge army without number, and they're threatening at the doors of Jerusalem. What's the instinct? Run. Let's get some help. And what does the Lord do? What do they do? Verse chapter 30, verse 1, woe to the rebellious children. I hate doing this, but man, I don't know if it's just me or I'm used to Texas. I don't know. It's just warm up here. So, all right, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt. Jerusalem, Israel's idea was, we can't handle this by ourselves. Let's go to Egypt. Right? That's what they did. Now, notice what it says there in verse 1. They took counsel, but not of me. Do you know what a lot of Christians do when trouble comes? They go to the TV, Dr. Phil, who knows who. They go to everyone but the Lord. They ask counsel, but not of me. They didn't ask the Lord. And not only that, verse 2, it says they walked to go down into Egypt. Now, bear with me. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 42. I know that Jeremiah comes much later than Isaiah. I understand that. But the principle here is the same. Jeremiah chapter 42. Jeremiah chapter 42. Now, the context here in Jeremiah is that Babylon has now come and taken Judah captive, and they have a very small remnant left, and there was some internal strife there, and they're afraid that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come back and just wipe them all out. So they've all gotten together. Now, this is the religious Pharisees coming now to Jeremiah, and they come to Jeremiah, and they say, Jeremiah, pray for us and ask God what we should do. Now, notice what happens here. Verse 2. They said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But look down at the response. Verse 7. It came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him. If ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you, and not pull you down, and I will plant you, and not pluck you up, for I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord. For I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand, and I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Simple, right? Let's keep reading. But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go down into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass judgment. Bottom line is this. They had already made up their minds to go to Egypt. They just wanted God's stamp of approval on it. And God said, no. Stay. You want to go down to Egypt? You ain't coming back. And if you want to read the rest of the chapter, you can on your own time. You want to go down to Egypt? Fine, go ahead, but you're not coming back. Nebuchadnezzar's going to go down and wipe you out down there. Stay in the land. They had already made up their mind. Now, you know what happens a lot of times in your lives and Christians' lives? Trouble comes, and they make their decision to bail out or to go to the world or to go to Egypt or to go to anywhere but God. And then they come to the preacher and say, Preacher, what should I do? And the preacher says, well, the scripture says, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if I agree with you on that, preacher. And you know what? How long they last? They last just a little while longer, then they're gone. They already made up their minds. Back in our text in Isaiah chapter 30. They had decided to go to Egypt, and they did not ask counsel of the Lord. They did not seek the scriptures. They did not get on their knees and pray. They didn't seek counsel from God at all. They had already made up their mind what they were going to do. Look at verse number six. The burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish. From whence come the young and old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent? They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. You know what the Lord's saying there? He's saying, you want to go down to Egypt? You're walking into a lion's den. You know what you want to go down to Egypt? You're walking into a den of vipers. Vipers, if you don't know, are extremely venomous serpents, like deadly venomous serpents. That's what you're walking into. Now, the Lord does not approve of this plan of action, and let me show you what he says about it. If you want to go down to Egypt, now, of course, I hope you can make the application. Egypt is what? A type of what? Egypt's a type of the world. And we often look to the world to bail us out of our trouble. I'm telling you, if you have the Word of God in your hands, you have the counsel of God. Don't you think God knows what your problems are going to be? Don't you think He had enough wisdom to put into His book something that would help you with your trouble? Seriously. Amen? There are principles and guidelines that you can get from Scripture to help you with any problem. I mean, we get to thinking that, oh, my trouble is unique. Nobody's ever gone through this before. Sir, what do you think? God is wise enough to create an entire universe from nothing. Amen? If He's that wise, I think He's wise enough to know what kind of trouble you're heading into and to give us some scripture that would address that problem. It's in there. That's why you got to read it. Amen? Look at what you get when you go to Egypt to help you out of your trouble. Look at verse 3. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame. And then he says, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion, shame and confusion. You know, a lot of people, when they have troubles, I got to move this. I'm going to kick it over. A lot of people, when they have trouble, they head off to the bars. They start pulling the bottles. Amen. They look to drugs. They want to. They have this burden on them. They have this guilt. They have all of these problems pressing on them. And instead of dealing with them, they want them to go away. So it's escapism. I'm just going to drown my troubles in a bottle of beer, and maybe that'll help me feel better. It does not help you feel better. It only prolongs the agony. It makes it worse. And then, thank God I was raised in a Christian home. Thank God I was in a good independent fundamental Baptist church. Thank God I went to a Christian school. These things were pounded into my head, even though I may have rebelled against them for some time. Thank God He helped, He restrained me from going too far. I thank God, I give God all the glory for that. A lot of people didn't. They went head first. Amen? And you know, some of you may know, thank God I never had to experience this, but some of you may know what happens when people get drunk. They do shameful things. Things they would never do if they were sober. You go to the, back in the 70s when they had the big, huge stadium rock and roll concerts, and they still do some of those today. I don't know. This pop culture, I have no idea what they do. But some of you guys remember what the women would do at the rock concerts. They'd take their clothes off and throw them up there on the stage at the performers. Am I right? That's shameful. They would never do that in a normal setting. You know what happens when you go to Egypt for help? Shame. Shame. He says confusion. Confusion. You know something? You know what this Bible will do for you? It will give you peace. Amen? Listen, the Scripture says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen? And the peace which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. There is no peace, saith the Lord unto the wicked. I'm going to give you a couple of verses here in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 16. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 16. The Bible says this. He says, they shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. Confusion. You know what happens when you go to Egypt for help? You get confused. So what do you mean by that? We have Sam here from India. I've never been to India. India. I've never been there. All I can do is read the reports and listen to what I hear from missionaries and so forth. But, you know, I don't know how many gods Hinduism has. I read a book once where it was something like 3,500. Somebody else said it was more than that. I don't know. Thousands of gods in the Hindu religion. Am I right? That's right. That sounds like that's kind of confusing, isn't it? And not only that, but a person in the northern provinces of India can be worshiping the same God as someone in the southern provinces of India, but it's completely different. They worship them in a different way. You say, why? They don't go by a scripture. They just go by what's passed down, what their priest tells them to. So it can be completely opposite. That's confusing, isn't it? You don't want to know what's confusing? When you don't want to kill a cow because it might be Uncle Joe. Right? So we'll just let them roam the streets and filthy up our streets and rivers and everything. And then we're going to go bathe in that filth. That's shameful. That's degrading. That's gross. That's disgusting. That's what idols do to you. They take your brain away. Trouble comes your way. And you go off to Egypt for help, you end up confused. Aren't you thankful you got a book? Amen? It's rock solid. This book doesn't change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Every word of God is pure. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. We have something we can count on. It's not confusing. Amen. Back in our text, Isaiah chapter 30, there's several scriptures there on confusion. I know this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says this: God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Amen. Verse number 5, Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 5. He says this: they were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. Isaiah there is saying this. He's saying, you're going down to Egypt for help. They can't help you. Amen. Why is it that when trouble comes, people quit coming to church? I've never figured that out. When trouble comes, you need more, not less. There's no profit. There's nothing there that you don't get in. He says down here in verse 6, you're going to take your money down there to Egypt. They'll be happy to take all of your money. And what do you get in exchange? Nothing. That's it. I'm done. I'm going to start drinking. I'm going to start messing around with drugs. I'm going to start doing all these things. And you're going to spend all of your money. How many families are destitute tonight because dad is too stupid to take care of his family and he's out spending it all on alcohol? It does happen in this country. Children are not getting proper food and nutrition. They're not being taken care of because mom and dad are out there gallivanting around and spending their money in alcohol and drugs, and they don't care about their children. And you say, well, what's going on? They're looking for help, but they're not getting help. You know where the help is. It's in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's no profit. You don't get anything out of it. And what you do get out of it? Shame, confusion, reproach. Reproach. If you've ever done bus ministry, you've seen it. It's just sickening. It's sad. Try to help those children, and you can't help them. Look at verse number 7. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. The world's happy to take your money. Look at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse number 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and notice this, had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but grew worse. We're not going to talk about the medical industry tonight. Amen? Not much has changed. There is nothing new under the sun. Amen? They're happy to take your money. The world is happy to take your money. I'm in trouble. I need help. Well, I can help you. Just pay me a little bit and a little bit more and come back and see me again next week and give me some more money and come back and see me next week and give me some more money and come back and see me next week. Oh, well, insurance pays for it. Don't you understand insurance is the biggest scam in American history? I would rather just talk to the doctor and work out a payment arrangement with him. But no, we got to go through insurance, and then they want to do this. No, I'm not going to pay for that. Well, I'll pay for that. What a headache. I want to ban all insurance. Amen? Just ban it all. Prices would come down immediately. Amen? never mind. Okay, we're not talking about that. Trouble comes around, and the world says, oh, I can help you. It's going to cost you X amount, and come back next week, more money, and what happens at the end of it? Usually nothing. You can come here for free. Amen? There's no admission here, is there? Okay. Once a month. Amen. There's no purpose in it. They don't have the answers. The world does not have the answers. I know what happens to a lot of Christians. They don't get their way and they get bitter at God. They wanted something to happen one way, and God said, no, it's going to happen this way. And then they get angry at God for not letting them have their way. You know, there's a name for that. Brat. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, try that at my house. That doesn't work. I'm sure Jerry could tell you some stories, too. I did try it. It didn't work. Don't you think God knows more than you? I think God knows more than you. What are you stomping for your foot and throwing a fit for then? God knows better. Isn't it? You know what a little child, you know, like a 5 or 6 year old child, you know, they don't worry about where the food comes from. They just sit down and eat. Amen? They don't worry about when the house payment's going to be made. They just go to bed at night. They sleep. They don't worry about any of that stuff that we worry about. They just trust that their parents have everything under control. They're just kids running around having a good time, right? And then we grow up and we become adults, and then we get mad at God for things not going our way. Well, he's your heavenly Father. He's got it under control. You just got to trust him. Amen? Amen? You run off to the world. Well, fine, if that's the way it's going to be, I quit. I'm going to go do this and I'm going to go do that. Yeah, and it's to no purpose. It's to no profit. It brings only shame and confusion. Some time back, I was teaching on Wednesday nights. I was teaching through the Old Testament books, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and they keep coming up with the idols, and you get into Judges there, and you talk about Ashtoreth and Baal and all this stuff, and Molech and all those gods, and I'm telling you, you know, there's a reason why God hated those idols so much, and it was more than just the fact that Israel stopped worshiping God and started worshiping the idols. The worship of those idols included some very gross things. I mean, despicable, unspeakable things. You want to talk about perversion and immorality, so much so we can't even discuss it here. That's why God hated those idols so much, at least one of the reasons why. It wasn't just that Molech wanted you to take your live baby and throw it into the fire as worship of that God. It's more than that. Gross, disgusting, unspeakable perversion. The Bible calls it confusion. And guess what? He also said it was abominable, and it's still abominable today. Amen. Let's see Joel Osteen preach on that. Amen. When trouble comes, where do you go? You go down and get the latest self-help book? I got a self-help book. You know, works pretty good. Amen. I got preachers that I can call up and say, preacher, I need someone to pray with me. I got a friend of mine down there in Amarillo, and a really good friend of mine, and boy, we went through some trouble some time back, and I call him up. I say, preacher, I need help. He says, come on over. I mean, in the middle of the night, when Ariane, many years ago, and I appreciate your all prayers and concern for Ariane. She's at home. She's doing all right. It's going to take us some while to get her back to good health, but she's in a good place. I appreciate your continued prayers for her. But 8 years ago, when she was first diagnosed, we took her into the emergency room at night, and we were up there all night long, and I finally came home. I told my wife, I said, I got to go home and sleep. I got to get something. She stayed up there. I came home. I slept for about 30 minutes. I called up my friend, Pastor Gerald Chadwick, and I said, preacher, I need some help. He said, come on over. You know, 7 o'clock in the morning, I go over to his house. I told him what had happened. He gets to, he says, let's pray. Oh, man, a lot. That was free. Free. I didn't have to go buy a self-help book. I didn't have to spend thousands of dollars. I Listen, God has people here for you to help you. Amen? The world has nothing. They will be glad to take your money and give you nothing in exchange. Look at Psalm 60. Psalm 60, verse number 10. Psalm 60, verse number 10. Wilt not thou, O God, which hadst cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies, give us help from trouble? For vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. He's saying, God, won't you help us? Man can't help us. If you help us, we can get some victory. I understand the doctrine here. Don't you feel sometimes like you've been left alone? Don't you feel sometimes that God's just left you? I know I have. I know the promise of Scripture. Listen, you've got to get past this feeling stuff, all right? I just don't feel. We don't act on feeling. We act on faith. We take what God said and we claim it and we say, if God said it, then it's true. Amen? You know what? You know one of the great promises that has helped me? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen? See, what does that mean? What that means is this. When you feel like God has left you, the Scripture says He has not left you. He's right there. He has not moved. Amen? So you act in faith. Lord, the Scripture says You haven't left me. It seems like You have, but You said You haven't. I'm just going to trust that You're still there. Amen? You're not going to get that from the world. Well, we need to dive deeper into your... Oh, they're gobbledygook. Look at verse 8. I'm sorry, back in Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. The Egyptians shall help in vain. But you know why they went to Egypt? You know why they went to Egypt? Look at verse number 8. Isaiah 30, verse number 8. Now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. All right, Isaiah, make record of this. This is going down in history. Amen. Indelible ink. Ready? Oh, great. One of the great and precious promises of the Lord. Oh, good, good, good. Verse 9. This is a rebellious people. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. It's such a positive, encouraging message. Hey, you know what? You know what? The Lord tells Isaiah, hey, I want you to write something down so that nobody will ever forget it. This people, they're rebellious. Amen. This is a rebellious people, lying children. Let's look at it. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Got a good friend of mine. Been struggling with his teenagers. And, my heart goes out to him. One of our members at home in Amarillo, the teenage daughter went off the tracks. It's sad. It's tragic. My heart goes out to them. I don't know how parents deal with that. I really don't. And then they come to me and say, did I do something wrong? Well, did you take them to church? Yeah. Did you teach them the Bible? Yeah. Did you pray with them? Yeah. To the best of your ability, did you do the right thing? Well, yeah. I said, you know, sometimes when they get to a certain age, they're going to make their own decisions. That's not you. You did the right thing. You can't control their decisions. You know what God did for Israel? He gave him the law. He gave him the temple, the priests. Amen? He sent them prophets. When you get down to where they're taken off into captivity, it says that God sent them prophets night and day to warn them, and they would not listen. I look out here at this church congregation tonight, and I'm wondering, God is after somebody here tonight. And I wonder who it is that's not listening. God's spoken to you. God's spoken to you time and time and time again. And He's warned you and He's warned you and He's warned you. And you just sit there. Go ahead, preacher. I ain't listening. We already saw Israel had already made up their mind to go to Egypt. They were not interested in what God had to say. You know what God does? He calls them on it. I know what's down in your heart. You already made your decision. Amen? I want to tell you something tonight. Change your mind. Amen? Don't go to Egypt. It is not going to help you. It's not going to help you. Look at what he says here in this passage here. Verse 11. I'm sorry, let's back up to 9. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Uh-oh, look at this. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. Hey, you know what? It seems like the Apostle Paul said something like this. They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They don't want to endure. It says they will not endure sound doctrine. You know what you hear in most of the mega churches today? We don't teach doctrine because it's too divisive. And you know what my answer is? Yes, it is. Amen. The Apostle Paul said that the truth was made manifest through the divisions. Amen? Yes, sound doctrine is divisive. It's designed to be divisive. Amen? You either believe what it says or you don't. We don't change what it says because you don't like it. Amen? Well, I just think, I don't care what you think. What matters is, what does God say? My opinion is worthless. Amen. I love going out to college because, you know, they think they're so smart, you know. Well, have you read this? Well, have you read this? Well, you have. I say, hey, have you read this? You know what David said? David said, I have more wisdom and understanding than all of my counselors because I love thy law. Amen. You want wisdom? Spend time in the book. Amen. Well, you just believe in creation. Yes, I do. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, that's just what that book says. Well, what's your book say? Oh, no, it's a scientific fact. No, it's called a theory. Amen. Oh, yes, but theory. Now, I've heard him say this. Are you ready for this? This theory in the scientific realm, theory trumps law. And I just look at him and I say, and you're trying to impress me? Only an idiot would think that. A law is immutable. It doesn't change. Theory can change. It can change from day to day. You're constantly testing it. And it's called a theory because it's never been proven. Once it's proven, then it becomes a law. Amen? Whoa, what do you mean? What do you mean? Okay. If I drop this, it doesn't matter how many times I drop this, it will fall to the floor every single time without fail. We can prove this. That's called the law of gravity. Amen? It's not a theory. It's a law. Amen? But evolution, you actually believe that? You came from a rock? Well, if you want to believe that, it's your choice, but it's just dumb. Amen? It takes more faith to believe that than it does to believe the Bible. You know why they don't want to believe the Bible? Because the Bible says that they're a sinner. Because the Bible says they're going to hell. And not only does it say that they're a sinner, it lists the sins. It's almost like God knew ahead of time what was going to happen. Verse 12, wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise. Notice, he says that we want prophets that will tell us nice, smooth things. We don't want all of this mean, harsh hellfire and damnation. You're so mean. We want something smooth. We want to feel good. Verse 12, he says, because ye despise this word. Why did they decide to go down to Egypt? Because they really had no use for what God had to say to begin with. They didn't like what God had to say. They didn't like it when the prophets came in and said, hey, that stuff is abominable. That adultery is sinful and wicked. That fornication is wicked. Those idols are wicked. Burning those babies, it's wicked. All of these things are wicked. And God says, repent! And if you don't repent, he's going to come judge you. Like, you don't have to. Are you judging me? Well, God's getting ready to, amen. I'm just the messenger. I don't make the judgment. I just tell you what God said, amen. That's the nice way out. They despise the word. They despise it. He says, speak unto us smooth things. Cause the Holy One, verse 11, get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. They did not want God in their lives. All right, I'm going to name a name. Joel Osteen. Televangelist and author based in Houston, Texas. Osteen's televised sermons are seen by over 7 million viewers weekly and over 20 million monthly in over 100 countries. Why? I hope I like that doctor. I don't like him when he tells me I'm wrong. I don't like going to church and being made to feel so bad about myself. Hey, we're not here for you. We're here for Christ. Jesus Christ gets all of the honor and all of the glory. We are nothing. Amen? We're nothing. If Jesus Christ doesn't do the work, it ain't going to get done. 7 million viewers weekly, 20 million monthly. A lot of people with itching ears. Say, well, you shouldn't say, hey, listen, Kyle, if you had an opportunity to be on a nationally syndicated talk show and the man asked you directly if you believed that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven, what would you say? Would you go on to elaborate on that if he gave you the opportunity? Mm-hmm. That's a man of God. Brother Paul, what would you do? Same thing. Brother Dave? How about Joel Osteen when he's on Larry King Live? So now I'm a Jew, and you're saying that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and I don't believe in Jesus. Oh, well, now it's not my place to judge. And well, now, I have the transcript. I have the transcript. That's not a man of God. That's not what a true prophet of God would do. You don't have to be mean and obnoxious and in your face like me. There's a nice diplomatic way of doing it. I'm sure Brother Kyle would come up with some very nice diplomatic way of saying it. But, amen, the truth is the truth. It doesn't matter what the presentation is. It matters what the message is. He had an opportunity on nationally syndicated television to tell the truth about how to get to heaven, and he did not do it. Amen? Instead, he writes 10 New York Times bestsellers. Your best life. Hey, if you're lost, you can forget about it. Become a better you. Hey, wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to become more like Christ. Amen? Itching ears. Why? They don't want to hear the truth to begin with. So they heap to themselves false prophets. Amen? American people and Christians have a difficult time with the truth. Now, I'm the mean guy that comes right up into your face and just slaps you with it. Amen? Not everyone's like that. Amen? The Christians don't like the truth. American people don't like the truth. They want to be coddled. They want to be comfortable. They want to live with their sin and have the approval. Amen? Hey, let me ask you this. Have you ever heard Joel Osteen preach a message against alcohol? You ever heard him preach a message on hell? Does he even talk about hell? And he's not the only one. I'm just picking on him because he's very popular. A lack of biblical separation, a lack of biblical holiness, a lack of moral purity. I was talking with a good friend of mine, a good Christian lady. She'd been attending a church for some time, and she was dating this fella, and She had decided that this church was just not for her. She was going to go somewhere else. Not a bad thing in this particular instance. But one of the things that troubled her, the teacher of her class came to her. They went out on a lunch date, and my friend was relaying this to me. And her teacher said, "You know, I really admire you because you've been coming here for some time, and you and your boyfriend, you always made sure that you never, you know, stayed together in the same house. You never shared hotel rooms. You always kept yourself clean." And she goes, "Well, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do, isn't it?" Well, come to find out, in that church, it was commonplace for Christians to be living together unmarried. Isn't that a sin? Isn't there a word for that in the Bible? And yet it was condoned and encouraged in a church. I remember I used to make fun of it, what are we going to do next? Christian drinking, Christian bars, Christian this, Christian drugs. Hey, it's coming. It's here. There's no separation. Now let's close this. God's counsel. God's counsel. He says, if you go down to Egypt, shame, confusion, all of those things. And he says, why did you go down to Egypt? Because you refused my counsel. You despised my word. You did not want to hear what I had to say. But here's God's counsel on the matter. Look at verse number 7. Now, what are we talking about? You have trouble in your life. The devil's coming after you. The temptation is to run off to Egypt. But do not despise the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Verse number 7. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Amen. What do I do when trouble comes? Well, you start panicking and worrying and wringing your hands, and maybe I should try this, and maybe I should try this, and what if I go here? What if I spend my money here? You know what you need to do is to sit down. Just take a break. Take a breath. Amen. Gather your thoughts. Amen. Their strength is to sit still. Look at what he says in verse number 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. You know what God's saying? You got trouble coming. Yeah, the Assyrian Empire is coming. Here's what I want you to do. Sit still. I got it. Just sit still. Just take it easy. You got trouble in your life? Just sit there and wait. God will take care of you. Verse 18. Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Look at it. Underline it. Mark it. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Amen? I know. I've made mistakes before. I've jumped in too quick. I kind of got in places where I thought, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to jump over here. Well, I really wish I would have waited. Amen? Really wish I would have just waited just a little bit longer. Would have saved myself a little bit of heartache. You know the verses I gave you one last night, Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord. I was reminded today as I was reviewing some material and so forth, looking through some things. When I left here to go to PBI, Jeff Sadek gave me that verse. I have it written down. They that wait upon the Lord. You don't want to know, can I tell you the story about me going to Pensacola? Can I do that? Is that okay? All right. Hey, Lord, I knew the... Listen, I can remember the day. It's as clear as the day I got saved. Sitting in old Clearwaters Chapel, the old Fourth Baptist building downtown, the old one. And we had evangelist Paul Schwenke, no relation to me. He had come and he was preaching. I was sitting, as you look at the platform, I was on the right-hand side. It was a semicircle. I was sitting on the right-hand side, a few rows back from the piano. I remember watching him preach, and the Holy Spirit touched my heart and said, I want you to preach. And I looked at up there, and I thought, yeah, but then I got to go to Bible college. I don't want to go to Bible college. Amen. I want you to preach. Oh, yeah, but I was young and naive. I could grow up to be president. Yeah. You know, I've since found out better. But, yeah. And the Holy Spirit said, yeah, but that's just temporary. Preaching is eternal. souls can get saved, lives can be changed. That's eternal. That other stuff, that's just temporary. I want you to preach. Yeah, but then I got to learn Greek and Hebrew. Guess what? I still have to learn Greek and Hebrew. Amen. So that was in fifth grade or so. Fast forward to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, all right, I surrender to preach. You want me to go to Bible school? Yes. Where do you want me to go? Pensacola Bible Institute. Okay, when do you want me to go? Lord? I lost you somewhere, Lord. When do you want me to go? No answer. So what'd you do? Well, a lot of people, you know what they do? I'm just going to stand here and wait. I see it at the workplace. Don't you see it at the workplace? I see it at the workplace all the time. Sometimes our freight coming in, I work for FedEx Express. Sometimes our freight coming in is late. We have people on the clock. You know what they do? And I'll walk by and say, isn't there something you can be doing? Hey, I'm on the clock. I'm getting paid one way or the other. Well, you know, you could clean out your van. Boss didn't tell me to do it. Oh, so we're back to fourth grade, right? Well, look, there's some trash over there. Why don't you pick that up? Boston, tell me to do it. I'm gonna stand there. You know, some of you Christians, you're the same way. Lord, you want me to do something? Yep. When do you want me to do it? Hey, the trash could be taken out. Somebody's got to vacuum this place. Amen? Kitchen could be cleaned. You know that maybe the youth workers need some help. There's all kinds of things that could be done. Instead of just standing around twiddling your thumbs, come talk to the preacher and say, hey, is there something I can do? I bet you he could find something for you to do. You know why you don't want to do it? Because you're lazy. Amen. Ain't got no character. Talking like a tick. Ain't. You say ain't up here? Their strength is to sit still. You say, wait a minute, I thought you said sit still. Yes, but it's not a lazy just sitting around doing nothing, loafing. It's I'm going to be busy while I wait for God to take care of me. He's saying, don't run off to Egypt. You can stay right there. I'll take care of it. In the meantime, we still have a temple. This is Old Testament, right? Isaiah. Still got a temple. You can still bring some offerings. It wouldn't help to bring, wouldn't hurt to bring a peace offering. Wouldn't hurt to bring a Thanksgiving offering. Wouldn't hurt to bring a burnt offering. Amen? You can still do something. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So in the meantime, you say, what did you do? I went to the pastor and said, is there something I can do? I just got busy doing whatever I could do. I was preaching on the street, knocking on doors, teaching Sunday school class, doing whatever I was asked to do. Amen? And then finally, after some time, I kept praying, Lord, I know you want me to go. It's August. If I'm going to go, I got to go now. Got to go now. September, maybe I can still get in there, Lord. No answer. Finally, January 1993, I was working my job, and my boss came out to me, and he says, and I hate to tell you this, when the economy does good, our business doesn't. I'm going to have to lay you off. You can go down on unemployment, get unemployment for a while. And I'm standing there looking at him like, seriously? What? I walk back to my desk and started gathering my things, and the Lord said, time to go. Lord, is that really you? Down we went. I was busy. There's something for you to do. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Egypt was coming, or Assyria was coming. They had already decided to go to Egypt because they despised the word of God, and God says, mistake. Sit and wait. See, I'm not sure about what God wants me to do. Sit and wait. God will make it clear. Stay busy and just wait on the Lord. Amen. Brother Kyle.